Let's make a start on time. And so this is the question. The question is really, how do we understand this? Surely the fundamentals of Torah are to be honest and truthful, to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those of Midas HaEmes. And how can it possibly be Yaakov Avinu, who is Ishtom, Yoshev Aholim, he was a person who reached a certain level of perfection, somebody who was sitting constantly in the Ohel of Torah, studying, his knowledge was profound. How can it possibly be that he should engage in something that's absolutely deceitful, downright trickery, stealing, so to speak, a bracha that didn't belong to him, and his father Yitzchak? What's going on? What's going on there? As the title almost, you'd say that if Yaakov Avinu was a member of our shul, would he really agree to be deceitful, be not honest, to be able to achieve a bracha? And surely, what type of a bracha does somebody who's deceitful get? Surely it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And possibly turn around and say, well, look what happened in the end. Look at Yaakov Avinu in the end. The years on and on, 22 years and afterwards. And Esau has been our foe ever since. And what about Rivka? What's going on with Rivka Imenu? I mean, this very, very special person. Surely she's aiding and abetting. She's the one who's giving Yaakov this advice, go and underhand and dress up as Esav and say you're Esav is a downright lie and steal the brachas. What's going on? I mean, if Rivka thought the brachas should be for Yaakov, surely she could have had a conversation with Yitzchak. You would have expected, where was the dialogue over there? What was going on? So many questions, and that's really, it needs to be understood. I took a little bit of a dipstick in the concept and spoke to a couple of members of the shul and people, and it seems that the consensus of opinion is that something terrible happened over here. This was absolutely wrong. It was incorrect. It shouldn't have happened, and it was a mistake. It was an error of judgment. Would anybody like to, by all means, anybody like to comment, offer an explanation? What's going on? Okay, in the absence of any explanations, I want to try and I'm using the commentaries, the Mefarshim over here to guide us and to give us some understanding of what's going on. Very interesting concept is that, by the way, just before I go further, what about Yitzchak? Did Yitzchak Avinu really not understand who Esav was? I mean, Yitzchak, he was at this stage, his eyesight was failing, but it wasn't always. This was quite well along. I mean, Yaakov was 63 at this stage, 63 years old. So Yitzchak had plenty of time to get to know who's who and what's what. Surely you could tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Surely Yitzchak knew who he was dealing with, somebody who on that very same day had transgressed the three cardinal averus, immorality, avodah zorah, and murder. He'd killed Nimrod. Surely we weren't dealing with a huge tzaddik over here. That's what he was. He was somebody who was, he was Basode, he was in the field, he was Yodea Tzayed, he knew how to hunt. He was Ish Sode, he's called a man of the fields. And Yaakov was this Tom Yoshev Aholim, it's all there in the Pasuk. What was Yitzchak thinking? And then afterwards, when Esau tells Yitzchok that he's tricked me now twice. Once he's tricked me when I sold him the Bechira, and now again with the Brachas. And when Yitzchok hears that, he says, oh, Gam Baruch Yehye, I can see that what happened was correct. I shouldn't have given the Brachas to Esau. Jolly well, jolly good that I gave them to Yaakov. What's going on? What's going on? So to understand this, I've used a combination of the Hamak Dova, of that's of Berlin, for the Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. I've used a combination of the Kliyoka and the Orachaim in the Mikros Gedolis, and of course the Ramban talks and Rashi. So it's all come from sources. I've tried not to make anything up myself, but to put it all together, although I haven't found an essay written, so to speak, on the topic, putting it all together. The Hamak Dova actually takes us from the very earliest days, the very first encounter, in fact, of Rivka with Yitzchok, before they were married, when Eliezer brings Rivka back with him after managing to extricate himself from Besuel, who disappeared from the scene, and from Lavan and his mother, who just about agreed to let Rivka go after Rivka insisted she was going. So Eliezer brings her back, and this is in going back to Parshas Chayesora, just before Shishi. What happened was that Eliezer is coming along with Rivka, and they're riding on the camels. And Yitzchok is coming from a place called Be'er L'chai Ro'i, and Yitzchok leaves out, goes out Losuach Basodeh to Daven Mincha, Daven in the field. Lifnos Orev, as it begins to darken. Vayisa Einov, and Yitzchok lifts up his eyes and he sees Vayav in a Gemalim Boim. He sees camels are coming. Good, that's Yitzchok's perception of what's going on. Batiso Rivko Seneho, Rivko, she lifts up her eyes, Vateira es Yitzchok. She sees Yitzchok. What's her response? Vatipo me al hagomel. She falls off the camel. Well, what happened? What happened there? Vatemel ho'evet. She doesn't just fall off the camel. She says to Eliezer, Mi ho ish halozeh. Who is this man? Ha'holech basodeh, who's going in the field at Krosenu, walking in the field at Krosenu towards us. She is absolutely, completely taken aback by the scene, by the sight of somebody who is incredibly awesome, an awesome person. But, and what did he answer? Vayom ho'evet, who Adoni, this is my master, referring to Yitzchok, Vatikach hatzoif. She takes her scarf, Rivka does, Vatis kos, and she covers her face. Rashi says, in shame, she felt inadequate. She felt inadequate. She saw this. Remember, Yitzchok wasn't just somebody who was incredibly great being the son of Avram Avinu, but he was actually put onto the Akedah. He was put onto the Akedah. He willingly agreed to be the Korban, although he wasn't Shechted, but he was never the same again, meaning he was of an elevated status of ruchnius, of spirituality, second to none. Avraham Avinu went to Chutz Loretz, so did Yaakov Avinu, but Yitzchok wasn't allowed to. Avraham Avinu took more than one wife, so did Yaakov, Yitzchok wasn't allowed to. Etc., etc. Yitzchok's status was something, he was an Eilo Tamimo, he was a Korban, he was a living Korban. And this incredible height of ruchnius, that's what Rivka sensed. It made her throw herself off the camel and cover her face in shame. Says the Hamak Dova, this set the scene of the relationship between Yitzchok and Rivka throughout their lives. Says says the Hamak Dova the following: he meroif pachad ubusha. From awe and a feeling of inadequacy, K'moshu mivino, she understood that she felt she wasn't ro'i, she wasn't fitting to be a wife of this incredibly holy man. And we oz v'holof, from there and onwards, nikba b'libo pachad, a sense of awe was well entrenched into her heart. Her relationship with Yitzchok, although it was incredibly harmonious, there was no problem of shalom bayis there, but her relationship with Yitzchok was not the same as Sarah with Avram and Rachel with Yaakov. Rivka felt unable, felt inadequate, and to challenge Yitzchok's judgment, because she felt that he was so much greater, so much on a higher level of Kedusha than she was. Asher b'yoso lohem ezek kpeda aleim, when it came to Sarah, had complaints against Avram Avinu, he said, so then Sarah said, Yishpoit Hashem beinenu, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge between us. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Sarah's side and said, whatever Sarah tells you to do with Yishmael, Shema b'kelo, listen to her, she knows better. She has nevuah, certain aspect of nevuah even greater than yours. That was Sarah. And similarly with Rachel, Rachel had complaints. Why aren't you davening for me? Why you leave me like this, as childless, and you just focus on Leah? Why she felt she was on a par. With Rivka, it was different. Why did this happen? Says the Hamak Dover, but Kol Zeh, he says, Hakdomo, this was a purposeful introduction and preparation, says the Hamak Dover, Lahasipo Shiova with Paris. Pasha told us the story that was going to come in the next Sedra, Shahayu Yitzchok and Rivka, Muchulokim Bedeus, where Yitzchok and Rivka viewed their children differently. Nonetheless, says the Hamak Dover, Mikol Mokim Leimotza Rivka Leiv, Lahamidis Yitzchok. Rivka did not feel that she had the ability to challenge Yitzchok and attempt to set him straight, Al Daito, or to certainly persuade him of her view. He says, because she, although Rivka knew that Esav was purely a smooth talker, there was no real tzidkus there in Esav. Whereas Yitzchok, let's start answering some of the questions we asked, whereas Yitzchok, he saw potential in Esav. He saw potential. Why did he see potential? We'll come and see more about this in a moment. But Yitzchok saw potential in Esav and hoped that Esav would be a tzaddik, even greater possibly than Yaakov. Rivka perceived that nothing to do with Yitzchok's dimming eyesight, because that happened much later on. Whereas Rivka understood, and correctly understood, that Esav, although he had the potential, he was not going to rise to the mark, and it wasn't going to happen. The Chayim B'Shas HaBrochus, says the Hamak Dover, from here, Chayesora, all the way to the Brochus, the end of Toldos. That's what Rivka, what was going on. Rivka understood, and we'll see in a minute how she understood, that Yaakov had to get the Brochus. Esau, Yitzchok, wanted to give it to Esav, and we'll see more about that. V'chol zeh hoyosibo, he says, me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All that happened was carefully guided by Hashem. Sheyagiu HaBrochus LeYaakov. Hashem wanted the brochus to reach Yaakov and not to Esav. Dafka. So why didn't it go the straight path? Says the Hamak Dover, Dafka be'ofen kazeh. It had to be in this seemingly deceitful and devious way. Rashi Yavua b'mkoimo, says the Hamak Dover, I'm going to explain there why it had to be. And he goes on to say, v'hakol, he says, v'hashkocha protis, it was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guiding hand. He says, meirosh, in advance, already at Rivka and Yitzchok's first encounter, shetagia Rivka li Yitzchok b'shar shetiboil mimenu, that Rivka should reach Yitzchok at his pinnacle of Kedusha when he's just davening. He just finished davening. He's going to the field to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, and that would give her the greatest fright of awe of Kedusha, the Yetze Achris Dover Kafir Ritzein Hashem, so that the bracha would come in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. The Talmud Dover says in short, and it's mentioned in the Ramban explicitly, that when it says in the Pasuk later, so we'll fast forward a little bit, where it says in Todas, Perik Chav Zayin, Perik Apostle Ches, the Atosh B'ni Shma B'Keili, says Rivka to Yaakov, and now my son, listen to my voice. La'ashe ani mitzavo oisoch, says the Hamak Dover, don't think I'm just giving you an idea. Don't think I'm just giving you a directive. I'm commanding you. This is what you have to do. How could he possibly listen? How could Yaakov, by the way, listen to his mother against his father? It should never happen to anyone. The parents should always be in harmony, and no child should ever be subjected to a conflict of interest. What am I supposed to do with conflict? Do I listen to my father? Do I listen to my mother? That spells trouble. We should be together, supporting each other. But if push comes to shove, as they say up north, and one's father asks one to do A, one's mother asks one to do B, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is clear that you have to listen to your father. Of course, not if he tells you to do something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the Torah, but within that, because the reason is because the wife has an obligation to honor her husband. And therefore, the din is that since she has to listen to her husband, therefore, certainly the din is that the kibbut of comes before kibbudim if there's a conflict. So if that's the case, and therefore, how could Yaakov listen? How could he take instructions from Rivka, come what may, when he knows the Yitzchak wants to give the brachas to Esau? Surely that violated the fulfillment of kibbudim before kibbudim. So that the answer is that's why Rivka was saying, Shema b'koli, listen to my voice. It's not me who's speaking. I'm giving you a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to you, via me. The message from Hashem is, you've got to go and get the brachas. That's what he mentions quite clearly. The Ramzaloi. She hinted to him, says the Hamak Dover, Shabaruach HaKodesh Himadaberis, she's speaking Baruach HaKodesh in the name of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that that's what Hashem wants. In which case the question is answered. How can Yaakov listen to Rivka over Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak made a mistake here, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu sent the message to Yaakov that I'm telling you, don't listen to Yitzchak. It's as if one's father, Chas V'Shalom, told somebody to break Shabbos, to do something for him which involves breaking Shabbos. So you say, please, Daddy, I'd love to do the mitzvah of Kibbud Av, but I can't go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes first. This is what Rivka was saying. Don't listen to me. You're listening to me only in as much as I'm a conduit of what? Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction. And therefore, that overrides what Yitzchak wants to do. And therefore, Yaakov was compelled, under specific instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go and get the brachas. That is what we see over here. Let's have a look a little bit more, and let's keep going. When you come to the beginning of Todos, something very strange, seemingly strange, is going on. Pasuk base, by he Yitzchak ben Aboim Shana, Yitzchak was 40 years old, b'kachdos Rivka, when he took Rivka in marriage. Who was Rivka? What do you mean, who was Rivka? Pasuk says, Bas Besuel, the daughter of Besuel, Huarami, wonderful Yichus. Mipadin Aram, Achois Lavon, to make it even worse, she was the sister of Lavon. Terrible, right? Terrible company she's been keeping. But we know all of that, because that was the whole Seder of Chai Sorah, was when Eliezer went to find a wife for Yitzchak, and we know all about that. Torah spent so many psukim telling us where Rivka comes from. Why does the Torah have to spend its precious words all over again in the second pasuk in Parshas Todos to tell you? You know who Rivka was? Bas Besuel, Achos Lavan. So there's a beautiful piece in the Aruch Chaim and the Kli Yoko explains the following. Before that, I want to ask another question. Nebuch, been married for 20 years, no children. What are they doing? Vayeta Yitzchok Lashem, Yitzchok Davens to Hashem, Lenoichach Ishtoi, opposite, in the opposite corner of the room to his wife. Very interesting. Why a cop of opposite? It doesn't say there was a mechitza there. Why the opposite end of the room? Ki akorahi, clearly, that's why the davening, because she was barren. Vayeose Loi Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers his tefillas. Ooh, Bata Rivka Ishtoi. And Rivka suddenly told his wife, so Hashem answers his tefillas and gives, allows his wife to conceive. That's what we've got. Now, the question really is, over here, why did Hashem listen to him and not to her? So Rashi says, because he was a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, Avraham Avinu, and she was a tzaddikes, the son of a rosha. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to her, to him, as opposed to her. That's what we've got. And there, sorry about this. Sorry, the phone is out of the room. Oh. So, therefore, that's what we have. And so that's what we have. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him before answering her. Interesting. What's she done wrong? The fact that she has a lineage that's not marvelous. On the contrary, maybe she's got greater zechuyos because she's managed to buck the trend and to be a tzaddikus. Pasuk continues, Vayisrotzu habonim b'kirubo, and the children inside her, they're fighting, they're struggling. But Baruch Hashem, she's expecting. Amazing, after 20 years. Vatomeim kein, she says, if so, lomo ze anochi, what's my life worth? What do you mean? All right, you waited 20 years, you're having a bit of a tough pregnancy. Big deal. You know, that's the least of the problems. You know, Baruch Hashem, you are where you are. Why, Rivka, are you saying, lomo ze anochi? Vatelech, off she went, lidrois es Hashem. She went to the yeshiva of Shem to ask from Shem, the son of Noach, to give her a message from Hashem as to what this means. What's going on? So Rashi explains in the name of the Medrash, why was she so upset? Why was she so distraught? Not because she cared about the pangs and the pains of pregnancy. It was because when she went past the Beis HaMedrash, then there was a struggle inside. And she felt, and when she went past the Avodah Zorah, the Beis Avodah Zorah, idol worship, so the same happened. So she was terribly distraught. Where was Yitzchak? Where was Yitzchak in all of this? Why didn't she go and ask Yitzchak? Surely Yitzchak, she had a god lador as a husband. Why has she got to go off to shame? And why Hashem speaking? So Vayoma Hashem lo. Hashem answered her. Where was Yitzchak? And he said, don't worry. These, what you're feeling, you've got here twins. And you've got two potential nations inside your womb. And you know what? As soon as they leave your womb, they're going to become two very separate. They're two separate people. They become two separate nations. From your womb, they will separate. They'll go their own separate ways. And you know what will happen? The older one is going to be subservient to the younger one. That nevuah is already here. That the brachas are going to be given to Yaakov and not to Esau. Fascinating. Where was Yitzchak? What's going on? So the Or Chaim, he explains, he says the following. He explains and he says that Yitzchak wasn't so worried that he was going to have descendants who were not tzaddikim. Tzaddik ben tzaddik. There was no shadow, no skeletons in the cupboard in his lineage. And therefore, Yitzchak wasn't worried. When Rivka felt the struggling, especially when she went past the house of Avodah Zorah, she went past the whatever we call it, the place of idol worship. She said, "Oy vey, This feels like coming from Besuel. This feels like coming from Lavan. This Oive. What, Mamazel Nochi, why did I ask to have children at all? What was the point if I'm going to have Rishoyim? Am I any better off than Hogar, who so much wanted to be married to Avraham Avinu, to be able to have good children, to be able to share in the continued lineage of the great Avraham Avinu? And I've landed up with Yishmael, is Hogar. Says Rivka, Oyve, I'm going the same way. Lomazir Nechi. She thought this was one child, and this one child, although it was going to, so to speak, want to get out into the Beis HaMedrash, but he also had a clear foot in the Beis HaVodah Zorah. Rivka said, this is terrible. This is terrible. I'm not going to have prodigy that are tzaddikim. And therefore, she said, but no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, two children. One is going to be a huge tzaddik, and the other one says the Or Chaim, those tefillos of Rivka helped that out of Esav would also come a tzaddik. And that was Antoninus, Rebbe and Antoninus. Rebbe, that Rebbe, of course, was the Nossi, and Antoninus was also a tzaddik from Rome. And that was from Esav. But at least Rivka knew that her main lineage would be Yitzchok, would be Yaakov, and that gave her the Nechama. So she knew right away that what Esav's future was going to be, it was not going to be Tzidkus, and Yaakov was going to be the Tzaddik and was going to be the main frame, like Yitzchok and Yishmael. Yitzchok was going to be similarly Yaakov, Esav and Yaakov. Yaakov was going to be. And that was the Nechama that Rivka had. So Rivka knew Beruach HaKodesh, that's the way it was. But Yitzchak continued with his way that Esav could be a tzaddik. He had the potential. And I've got over here written in my notebook from my school days and afterwards, I heard a beautiful Dvar Torah from Rav Roberts on this, because the Rashi says, that what happened when, why did Yitzchok's eyes, why did they grow dim? So Rashi brings three explanations why his eyes grew dim in the beginning of Perek Chof Zayin. One, they grew dim because of the smoke of Avodah Zorah, of Yitzchok's daughters-in-law, of Esav's wives. I must tell you this. The Pasuk says, Vayhi Esav ben Arboim Shana, just before that, Vayhi Esav ben Arboim Shana, Esav reaches 40 years old. That's when Yitzchok marries. Oh, Yitzchok married. I've got to get married now. Who did he marry? Vayikach Isha. He took one wife. Her name was Yehudis Bas Be'eri Achiti. She was an idol worshipper. Ves Basmas, number two, Bas Eloin Achiti. Rashi says they were both idol worshippers. Vatieno Moras Ruach. They were a source of great heartache. Le Yitzchok u le Rivka. To Yitzchok and Rivka. Two things. Why doesn't it say to his parents? So Hamad Dover says, because the heartache of Yitzchok and the heartache of Rivka were different. Something else as well. Yitzchok is put before Rivka. Well, of course, you normally put the husband before the wife, especially if we've explained the godless of Yitzchok and Rivka's feeling of inadequacy relative to him. But there were different reasons. Rivka had a heartache because, at the end of the day, this was his son, her son, and she saw that he's up to no good. Yitzchok had even more heartache because he believed that Esav has the potential to be extremely great, greater than Yaakov, even greater. Why so? So Rashi says immediately after that, Batichena, his eyes became dim and were unable to see. So there are three pshatim in Rashi. Why? Number one, because of the smoke of Avodah Zorah. Really? I'm not aware that smoke of the incense of Avodah Zorah has a blinding effect. But that's what Rashi says. Pshat one. Pshat two, when Yitzchok was on the Akedah and his father was just about, Avraham was about to sheft him. So what happens is, that the skies opened and the Malchei Ashoris saw what was going on. Bahayu Boichim, they were crying. The Yardu Dimoseim, Rashi says, the tears of the Malochim fell down. The Noflu Al Einov, they fell onto Yitzchok's eyes, and that caused him to be blind. Very strange. First of all, angels, surely they don't have the physicality to have tears. Number two, why did they definitely fall into his eyes? Number three, when's the last time? Surely we've all got tears in our eyes. So you have a few more tears in your eyes. Why are Malach tears have a blinding? And if that's not enough, Esav didn't lose his sight then. He was, Yitzchok, he was 40 years old. Now, 63 years on. 63 years on, 83 years on, because Yaakov was 63 and it took 20 years to have children. So it was now 83 years on, and there we are. Only now do his eyes start to fail. So how do we understand that pshat? The last one, pshat is, Dovo Acher, they sheyitol Yaakov Sabrochus. His eyes start to fail for no other reason other than Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov to get the brochus. So you see, Hashem was in on this one. Hashem purposely caused eyes. Now, why should the Malochim's tears, what's going on here? So Roberts explained and said the following. Why were the Malochim crying? What's wrong? Wonderful sight to see our both Avram and Yitzchok separately in different ways serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way which is incredible. How Avram Avinu had to give up his son that he doubled for, waited 100 years for, and Yitzchok only hears all secondhand from Avram Avinu, who's got so much Emunas Chachomim, he's prepared to give up his life. Incredible. Absolutely. Absolutely, it blows your mind away to think about this. So why the Malachim crying? Malachim is a Baruch Hashem. Avraham Avinu, you withstood the 10th Nisayon. Amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will love you forever and look after you. And you're, oh, this was the biggest success story in history. Why the Malachim crying? So Rav Roberts explains and says the reason is the following. Because they saw that Avraham Avinu was greater than they are. That Avraham Avinu had the temptation to ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word and to go against it for the love of his son. And Yitzchok, because it was only Avraham Avinu, this old man must have maybe lost his mind. What's going on here? No, they listened. No ifs, no buts. They overcame their Yetzer Hara not to listen to Hashem. And they put everything to the side and listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Malach doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. So a Malach doesn't have that ability to prove himself, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. And therefore, as a result of this, the Malachim saw their inadequacy relative to man who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfectly. He's able to, Avraham and Yitzchak overcame the Yetzer Hara that a Malach doesn't have. They served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim saw that the person who has a Yetzer Hara, who seems to be less than the Malach. Yeah, somebody who's a real tzaddik, you say, he's a Malach. But the truth is, no. He's a person who's a real tzaddik, is much more than a Malach, because he's got a Yetzer Hara and he overcame it. Malach, easy peasy, he's pre-programmed. Of course he does what he's told. So the Malachim are crying because they saw that they were inadequate relative to Avraham and Yitzchok. So how do those tears cause any trouble? From that, Yitzchok understood, says Rav Roberts Shlita, from this, Yitzchok understood that somebody who's got a terrible Yetzer Hara nonetheless overcomes. He's able to take hold of himself and do the Rotzon Hashem. He's far higher, on a far higher level than somebody who it comes easy. It comes easily. To Yaakov, it was easy. Ishtom Yeshev Aholim. No brainer. Yaakov was naturally a tzaddik. Esav was red, hot blooded, ready to kill, murder, do all types of averus. And Yitzchok saw potential of Esav to use those middas instead of to kill, to be a surgeon, instead of to kill, to be a moel, to be a sheichet, to use it for positivity. And he saw, there's Esav. He's using his thing to shecht an animal, to bring it as a meal. That's what Yitzchok was directing Esav, to use it for positivity. and he saw potential in Esav way above that of Yaakov Avinu. Because of that, he was blinded to the reality of where Esav had chosen to go in his life, what Esav had chosen to make of his life. He was blinded by the Malachim's tears, who were crying because of their inadequacy relative to the Avraham and Yitzchak, who had a Yetzer Hara. So Yitzchak saw Esav's and one level higher potential still than Yaakov Avinu, and wanted him to have the brachos and the bechira to reach that level. And he was blinded in thinking that it would actually happen, that Esav would rise to the mark and that would come to fruition. Rivka saw better and saw that in practice, the facts on the ground are that Esav was just your dead side. It was all trickery. It was all a game, a show. And the truth is, Esav had no intention of keeping the Torah and listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was all what he wanted to do, dressed up with all types of things. Daddy, how do you take mice from salt? How do you take mice from straw? How do all from questions which were there to pretend as a guise covering over the real Esav underneath. That's what it was. And indeed, I've got written here that I heard from Matsyo Solomon. I've also written this as a youngster, as a teenager, and maybe slightly older, and I've written over here as well. But that's what it was. This is exactly what was going on. But Yitzchak understood that the idea, and this is a very important point, and then we'll be able to continue the rest of Mitzvah Shem next week, that Yitzchak hoped that Esav would take the brachas and look after the worldly needs of Yaakov. He would be the Zevulun, and Yaakov would be able to be the Yisachar and to be kept away from the worldly temptations of finance, of mundane arrangements, the distractions that they bring and that they cause. And when Yitzchak saw that he got it wrong, and that really it should be for Yaakov, why was he so scared? Why did he shake? Vayecharad, Yitzchak charada gadola. Why was he trembling? Surely, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set me straight when I was going to get it wrong. Because Yitzchak understood that in truth, for Yaakov to have those brachas was a great compromise in Yaakov's future safety, safe arrival at the level and at the madrega that Yaakov was capable of reaching. He would be hampered and distracted by having the brachas of Olam Hazeh to with him. And that's what's going to explain. We're going to explain much more about that. So we've got some idea over here. Number one, it's absolutely wrong. It's a complete misreading of the map to think that Yitzchak wasn't completely up to speed with what was going on. He knew who Esav was, but he felt that the potential could be reached, could be even greater than Yaakov, and he hoped that encouraging him to use his hunting for mitzvahs to do good things, he hoped that Esav would rise to the challenge and would reach his potential. Rivka, she, due to the nevuah that already started, Vayom Hashem lo, right at the beginning, Rivka knew that that wasn't the way, that wasn't what was going to happen in practice, and that Esav was not going to be the tzaddik. The Ruach HaKodesh told her what would happen at the end of time. And therefore, Rivka knew and had a mission from Hashem to deflect it. Why, says the Hamad Dover, didn't they have that discussion, Yitzchak and Rivka? Baruch Hashem, there was never any problem with Shalom Bais. It was because Rivka considered herself to be inadequate to argue with Yitzchak about it. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ordained that this should happen by deceit. It was necessary. And that we'll have to leave for next week. Why that was necessary for it to happen. But Yaakov Avinu followed the instructions of Hashem, Chas v'shalom, no deceit. Hashem said this is the way it's got to be. The brachas were to be rightfully him, his, said Hashem. Of course, that's what brachas are. They come from Hashem. Why did it have to be in this way? Why couldn't Yitzchak and Rivka have that conversation? That is something we're going to have to see more about. But this is all incredibly beautifully woven and absolutely correct to the T, as the Hamad Dover said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated their first encounter, Yitzchak and Rivka, to be of that nature, to set the tone between them so that what needed to happen later would actually happen in the way it did. Much more next week in Mitzvah Hashem. I said I'd stop at 25 past. We'll stop there and Mitzvah Hashem go further. Hopefully that's begun to allay certain concerns and to give a bit of a focus as to where this is all going. And then we've got a few more questions to answer, put everything together, and then also to understand what's going on between Yaakov and Esav, between the Western world, between Klal Yisrael and the Western world, all right through the generations, up to and including now, going forward. That is the continuation by Yetzeh, by Yishlach, the encounter, as we're going to see it in Mitzvah Hashem. Hopefully, we'll get even more clarity as we go along.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Wow, you see, and that's just what I've managed to unravel and undig, you know, to dig out and to be able to understand. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, much more coming. Very good. Pleasure. Very good.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.